Writer David Halberstam used to walk by the firehouse just a few blocks from his apartment on New York's West Side without thinking much about it. He admired the firefighters who worked there, was grateful they were around, but he didn't know them. Now, in his new book, Firehouse, Halberstam tells the story of the men of Engine 40 and Ladder 35. 13 of them were dispatched to the World Trade Center on the morning of September 11th. Only one survived. Not long afterward, Halberstam was asked to write a magazine article. He decided the story deserved to be a book.
Here was one institution that on an apocalyptic day had been hit extraordinarily hard. The life within the firehouse was normally extremely intimate. Men who lived together, ate together, risked their lives together, played softball together, played golf together, helped each other on the weekends repairing each other's homes. And they had carved the core out of that institution. And so I thought a small book on what happens in a very small institution on so terrible day was really worth doing. And I just liked the people so much.
And I think what so many of us learned after September 11th, and that certainly comes through in this book, is the degree to which being a firefighter in New York City is, first of all, generational, but also really so much a part of the culture of some of the neighborhoods of the city. You talk about the men being pulled into the job.
Well, I think it's very powerful. It's almost like it's in their DNA. It's their second and, in many cases, third generation. The previous generation didn't have a lot of opportunity to do anything else, and they did the firehouse job because that was the best available job. And then they became middle class themselves and raised their kids, and their kids went to college. And when they finished college, they'd say, you know, what do you want to be? I want to be a fireman. Why? This was in the case of William Roberts, whose son Michael became a fireman. He said, because you always, Dad, came home from work happy. I think they saw that their fathers lived rich lives, that they did something they were proud of, that I think the camaraderie at the fire house, they would go to these kids would go to the firehouse and they would get these wonderful earthy, all these extra uncles. The firehouse itself, it strikes me, is an uncommon place. It's not a macho place, interestingly enough. I mean, there's not a lot of swagger and strut. It's a masculine place, which is very different. It's a place where men, you know, live as men. They are earthy, their humor is raucous, and it has a kind of a warmth to it that comes with the covenants they have that they will risk their lives for each other and for strangers, for utter strangers.
A number of the men fit into what is really a cliche, that category of men that we call the strong and silent type. And I'm thinking in particular of the captain. Captain Frank Callahan was a character a man that I was sort of intrigued by because he was so silent. And yet in that strength and in that silence, he certainly earned the respect of the men.
Well, the men thought he was straight, and they thought he was a good captain. He didn't, you know, if something went wrong, if they did something wrong, he wouldn't tell them what they'd done wrong. He'd call them into the office, and then he would look at them, just look at them. And as one guy said, it was not just where he could see what you'd done wrong that day. He could see all the things you'd done wrong all your life. And not only that, but the things you'd thought of doing wrong in that whole life. And he was this fierce, austere, old-fashioned man. And they hated the look because it really sort of stripped them naked.
Another man who fell into that category, the very strong but very quiet man, is Lieutenant John Ginley. And there's a passage that I wanted you to read on page 69. And that's a passage about his wife, April, and her reaction to people calling her husband a hero after
he had died. Very hard on her. She really resents the heroic term and descriptions. And John Ginley was really almost a religious family, which has lots of firefighters, multiple generations. I think three brothers are firefighters, Irish Catholic family. And he was extremely quiet. I mean, some of the men thought of him more almost as a priest than a fire captain. And this is the passage. Later, when everyone spoke of John Ginley and the others as heroes making heroes' decisions, April Ginley, his widow, was not entirely comfortable with the description. What she'd always liked about her husband was his modesty and how quiet he was. He was, she believed, the antithesis of a man who thought he was a hero. There was nothing showy about him, no macho swagger, certainly not at home and not, she was sure, at the firehouse. She did not think of him as a hero, or even for that matter as a fireman. To her, he was a father and husband. And that really, in a way, goes back to the point I was making. It is a masculine place, but not a macho place. And there's a very important difference.
There were some very irrepressible characters, though, as well. Steve Mercado, I think that's how you pronounce his
name. Steve Mercado was the great mimic. He was a half-Hispanic, and he loved being there. And he was the resident mimic, and he would pick up on someone else. He would study them, study their flaws, their voices, and then he would do devastating imitations of them. He was a much-loved man there.
And I think it was that range of personalities, as you read about them, that really gave you that sense that the firehouse is a family. It's like a family.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, because if you look at them and you look at the pictures on the back, the 12 pictures, and most of the names are Irish, or there's a couple Italian or whatever, you know, you think, oh, they all have the same DNA. They're all the same background. They all want it. They're all the same. But they're not all the same. I mean, they are, in some larger way, similar. They are firemen. They've chosen this. They make much, much less money than they could doing something else. And yet, then there's the idiosyncratic nature, which every man is different and has his own special imprint. And that was my job, to find out what, in addition to that, which bonded them in common, allowed them to be individuals as well.
Well, and you write very detailed and very intimate portraits of these men. And I was wondering, obviously you talked with coworkers and families. Did you have to do much persuading?
It was a great enriching experience for me. I mean, it was very rewarding. It's 40 years almost this month that I went to Vietnam as a young reporter. So I'm 68 now, and I'm still getting around. And doing this book was really like being a young reporter in Vietnam again. You know why you do it. I mean, you go out, and there's a value, a reward. You feel what you do matters. And here I was in this era, where this tragic thing had happened and devastated this city and had devastated that firehouse. The welcome I got there, the trust, made doing it just extraordinarily rewarding. I didn't realize it at the time, but I now see how therapeutic it was for me in that moment, where I wanted to be a citizen, not just a resident of the city, but a citizen of the city.
Thanks very much, Mr. Halberstam.
Well, thank you very much for having me on.
Writer David Halberstam, his new book is Firehouse.